Do-do-do-do-do. 39 degrees at 747, flying low on this Tuesday morning. And marking this note on this day, Queen Elizabeth marking her first official engagement outside of Windsor Castle since the death of her husband, Prince Philip. The monarch, 95 now, attended the state opening of Parliament in Westminster. And interestingly enough, she was accompanied by her son and heir, Prince Charles, and his wife, Camilla, Duchess of Cornwall. They arrived separately from the Queen. And the guy who will know if this is the usual presentation or not is our Fox News correspondent and WJR contributor. We happily welcome back to the Paul W. Smith Show, Simon Owen. Good afternoon, Simon.
Hi there. Good morning.
Well, that's very kind of it. We each took our own time period and created our greeting. Afternoon for you, morning for me. You're absolutely right. So the Queen has already made her appearance and made her speech.
Yes, exactly. And so roughly once a year, she heads from Buckingham Palace to the Houses of Parliament to open a new term, open a new session, and she sits on a throne and delivers a speech. This is her role as the head of state, but she is a ceremonial head of state largely, and so it's written by the government, her government, Boris Johnson's administration, setting out its plans for the months ahead. And so that's what's been going on. You're right, she was accompanied by Prince Charles, but to answer the question of whether that's normal or not, it kind of has become the norm, actually, in recent years. Prince Philip, before his death, I mean, he stepped down a few years ago from public duties, and so we've seen increasingly Charles taking on some of those responsibilities. And a big part of that is trying to smooth the way so that when this transition happened, when he died and then suddenly wasn't there anymore, in some circumstances, like the state opening of Parliament, it wouldn't seem so strange. And I can tell you one picture I remember seeing sort of circulating on social media a few years ago was the Queen on her throne, Charles sat to her side, dressed in crowns, robes, the works, and somebody on social media had written as a caption that this was "Take Your Child to Work Day."
My laughter started when you said he was wearing the works. But there you are. Take your child to work day. That's a beautiful line. I wish I came up with that. I do note, and people writing about this have noted, that the Queen was wearing a lavender-colored day dress and matching hat rather than the works. She did not wear the full ceremonial dress and crown, which I guess is what she would generally wear in this procedure.
Yes, and we'll never know what she really thinks about whether she'd rather be in a crown or not, but I know that they are extremely heavy, and as you say, she's in her mid-90s these days. I can imagine it's a huge pain to put that on, but if that was the job, then I'm sure she'd be doing it. But generally, yes, I mean, this was a stripped back ceremony today, and that was purely for reasons, we're told, of COVID restrictions. And so normally the speech is delivered in the upper chamber, the House of Lords, and all the lawmakers, the 650 lawmakers from the lower chamber, as many as possible, crowd into the upper chamber to listen to what the Queen has to say. Well, crowds are not really the in thing here at the moment, and so this was very much restricted attendance, and just the party leaders, I think, went through in the end, maybe a few of their senior officials. So, yes, very much stripped back, but the nuts and bolts of it, the meat of it, was the same as we see most years.
The fact that Charles, now 72, Camilla, now 73, have escorted the Queen to the formal ceremony before, but they're still saying this takes on a new significance, as it's clearly underlining how the senior royals are stepping up to be alongside her in the wake of the death of her husband last month. And the other thing that people are saying is that she's not going to give up her position. She is going to stay in this position. She'll never advocate because of duty and honor and public service so deep in her as it was for Prince Philip. So Charles is the guy who's been waiting all of his life that may never attain the position of king. What are people saying over on that side of the pond?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's impossible to assume what twists and turns life is going to take, but age suggests that Charles will become king, but yes, he's, as you say, already in his mid-70s, he will be an older monarch. And people say a lot about Queen Elizabeth, but the one word that I think sums up her contribution, if you had to pick one word, I think there's been suggestions that she may be remembered as Elizabeth the Steadfast, that she doesn't shift. And I think she was 21 when she committed that she would be queen for her entire life, that this was not a job she saw as one that you resign from, it's that you do it forever. And so it perhaps would be in keeping with her reputation if she stuck with that and did keep going for as very much as long as she can.
Simon Owen, Fox News correspondent, WJR contributor, they're talking over there the same way we're talking over here. How are people reacting to the conversation about requiring voters to show photo IDs at elections?
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the plans that was announced today, and this was a pretty wide-ranging speech. It talked about everything from planning for building houses to education funding and gay conversion therapy and ways of bringing Britain back from the pandemic. And like so many countries, the UK is going to be looking at eye-watering amounts of national debt from the support measures that have been handed out over the past year or so. But yes, among these measures was an electoral reform package, which we're waiting to hear more about what it might contain. But it's billed as an attempt to clamp down on voter fraud, and it might sound familiar. It's not become the kind of political firestorm here yet that we've seen in parts of the United States, but I think it could well do going forward. You know, it's going to contain limits on postal voting, potentially a requirement for voters to show photo ID at polling stations. And Boris Johnson's government is already being asked to defend this, and it says that this is about fairness. It says people want to know that elections are fair. But as you've seen in the US, critics say it's a similar situation here, that voter fraud is not a widespread problem in Britain, and that these plans would instead make it harder for a significant number of people to take part in an election that they're entitled to.
But Simon, over here, we use photo ID for everything. We have to use photo ID for so many things that we do. And if we go to a will call window for tickets, I mean, to get a driver's license, we used our identification. Photo IDs are used for everything here. The Democrats and liberals have made this a political hot potato, which is ridiculous since, I mean, the perfect proof that I offer about the fact that this is just political, instead of really caring about the people they claim to care about, I haven't seen one major push to get everyone a photo ID so that they can have a full life and take advantage of everything being an American. And all the opportunities that are afforded us are there. They can't take advantage of all of them because they don't have a photo ID. So rather than this nonsense about claiming that it's racist to have a photo ID to vote, why not push hard to get everyone a photo ID if they really cared about the people that they claim to care about? That's what bothers me. And you'll find the same thing there in Great Britain.
Well, I mean, the political divide on this issue is roughly similar because the ruling party here is the Conservative Party. It leans to the right, and it is now pushing this plan. The opposition party, the left-wing Labour Party, has said that in the last election here, there was one conviction for voter fraud. But by contrast, it says 3.5 million British citizens do not have a photo ID. And however hard you try, they argue that it's just not viable to get even approaching all of those people kitted out with the right ID by the time of the next election. Now, yeah, as 10 Downing Street says, you do have to show ID here when you go and pick up a parcel at the post office if you take out a library book. So they say that it's time that this came in line with voters. I'll give you one final quote on this from the Prime Minister himself, Boris Johnson, 15 years ago when Britain last had a big debate about ID cards. He said if he was ever required to show ID to prove he was who he said he was, he said he would eat it immediately. And if he couldn't consume it, he would chew it to the point of illegibility. So he has had a change of heart.
Someone else always picks up his tickets and his passes and everything else that he needs because they have to show photo ID to get it. But you know what? When you say only one case of voter fraud found, yeah, that's the only one that was caught. We have no idea how much voter fraud takes place. That's the issue. That's the point. If there's fraudulent activity, if it's successful, you never know about it. By the way, best line of the day, maybe the week, Simon Owen, when you say that the government there in Great Britain, like us, U.S., eye-watering amounts of national debt. I love that. Eye-watering amounts of national debt. We've got it, too. Thank you, Simon.
Thanks a lot.
Simon Owen, Fox News correspondent, WJR contributors.